joint work with Benoit Collins. So, probably everybody is familiar with Kahn's embedding problem. It asks whether, true that for all finite binomial algebras, M, M embeds in a trace-preserving way into the ultra power of the hyperfinite 2-1 factor. And as is well known, this has an equivalent formulation in terms of microstates. So, equivalently, is it true that for all finite binomial algebras M and for all x1 and x2 self-adjoint elements, this pair x1, x2 has microstates, has matricial microstates? In the following precise sense, i.e., is it true that for all integers m and for all gamma bigger than zero, there exists some k large enough integer, and there exists self-adjoint matrices A1 and A2, self-adjoint k by k matrices, that approximate x1 and x2 in moments, so such that for all p between 1 and m, and for all i1 up to ip, either 1 or 2, the normalized trace on the matrices of the word ai1 up to aip is close to the trace if gamma close to the trace on the original operators x1 and x2. So tau is the trace on M. So Kahn's embedding problem is a question about a fundamental approximation property for operators in finite binomial algebras, for elements of finite binomial algebras, and it's all about mixed moments, which mixed moments are possible in finite binomial algebras and which ones are possible in matrices. Now, there a number of people have expressed doubts about positive answer to Kahn's embedding problem. So what are some candidates for binomial algebras that are not embeddable in R omega? Well, I don't know if there are any hard results about these, but one can speculate about group binomial algebras where G is, for example, Gromov's group that's not uniformly embeddable in Hilbert space. Or let me mention a result that goes in the opposite direction. It's a theorem. Yes, it's
you don't
I think it's, so... By Belkovich and Belinci-Belkovich result, you don't need to put... So, okay, we wrote this as a theorem in our paper, but it's been well known for some time, I think. So, we don't claim it's an original result. Okay. All right, so a theorem in the positive direction, due to Nate Brown, myself, and Kinley Jung, is that for amalgamated free products, if M1 and M2 are embeddable in R omega, and if you take a common subalgebra of them, so that if D is hyperfinite, then the amalgamated free product of M1 and M2 over D, so here I'm taking with respect to some trace-preserving conditional expectations, is embeddable in R omega. And one can imagine that the more general result might not be true if you lift the hypothesis that D be hyperfinite. So one can think about some examples, examples of amalgamated free products that might not be embeddable. So what if D is not hyperfinite? So there's some sort of candidates, although I can't really say much about them. How might one concretely go about trying to show that a given binomial algebra is not embeddable in R omega? So this work with Benoit started by some attempt to get a handle on this using a property. Let's turn to the question of sums of permission operators. Sums of permission matrices. So let A and B be n by n self-adjoint matrices, and have eigenvalues, put them in decreasing order, alpha 1, alpha 2, up to alpha n for A, and beta 1 up to beta n for B, and then we might ask, what are the possible eigenvalues, say, listed in decreasing order, gamma 1 up to gamma n, of the sum A plus B. And this is an old question, and it's been answered. So i.e., what if the set S alpha beta, which is by definition the set of eigenvalue sequences in decreasing order of operators of the form diagonal of alpha plus a unitary conjugate of diagonal of beta, U running over the n by n unitaries. Okay, and this, we're working in this set of ordered and two pools of real numbers. Well, some some things one can say immediately. If gamma 1 up to gamma n lies in this set, then since the trace of A plus B is equal to the trace of A plus trace of B, then the sum of the alphas plus the sum of the betas is equal to the sum of the gammas. That's the trace identity. And then there are some other obvious inequalities. So, for example, the largest eigenvalue of the sum can be no bigger than the largest eigenvalue of A plus the largest eigenvalue of B, and so on. And in fact, there are a whole number of inequalities which somehow are of a similar nature, which were described by, which were defined by Alfred Horn in his 1962 paper. He described sets G, N, R of triples. I, J, K of subsets of a set of integers from 1 to N, each having cardinality R. And for each such set, he considered the inequality some I runs through the set, little I runs through the set I of alpha sub I plus some little j runs through the set j of beta of j is greater than or equal to the sum of gamma k. Little k runs through k. Let's call this thing star I j of k. And he conjectured that well, these sets are described recursively. And he conjectured that these inequalities determine the set S alpha beta. So, Horn's conjecture is that S alpha beta is a set of ordered n tuples such that the trace identity holds, and for all I, j, k in the list given by Alfred Horn, the corresponding Horn inequality holds. And this this conjecture is now a theorem. Due to work in the 90s by several authors, Kliatchko, Tataro, Knudsen, and Tao. And the methods involve algebraic geometry and Schubert calculus and so on. Now, we can consider analog in 2-1 factors. So in fact, the
believe this problem was first considered in 2-1 factors by Harry Belkovich and Wenxi Li. So here's the setup. Or let's say analog in finite binomial algebra. So, for a self-adjoint element of finite binomial algebra, we have, of course, the distribution. It's the compactly supported measure, mu A, which can be realized as the trace of spectrum of the projection-valued spectral measure. And then equivalent information is contained in the eigenvalue function, which is continuous analog of a decreasing sequence of eigenvalues. So the eigenvalue function lambda A from 0, 1 to the reals is described by lambda A of T is the sup of the set of S, a real number, such that the distribution of the interval from S to infinity is strictly greater than T. And it's non-increasing right continuous function. Non-increasing bounded right continuous. Take one of one's triples. IJK, we say that the corresponding Horn inequality finite binomial algebra M, if for all self-adjoints A and B in M, we have the integral. So these sums get replaced by integrals. The integral of the eigenvalue function of A over a set omega I plus the integral the eigenvalue function of B over omega j is greater than or equal to the integral over omega k of lambda a plus b, where, okay, let's call this thing star ijk prime, where omega I is the union little I over the index set big I of corresponding interval of length 1 over n. So if, for example, if A had the spectral data of a matrix with, eigenvalues alpha 1 up to alpha n. So it's the distribution of A is 1 over n sum of delta functions at alpha I, then, and similarly for B and A plus B, then this continuous version just reduces to the original Horn inequality. So describing things in that way just lets us handle handle all the matrices at once and handle continuous cases. Yeah, this notation and these things were all introduced in the papers of Bakovich and Lee. And I'm going to quote a couple of theorems of theirs as well. Yes. Okay, that's what's next on the docket. So this is in the paper which appeared last year, paper by Harry Berkovich and Wing Shi Li. So if M is embeddable in R omega, then all Horn inequalities star I j k prime hold in M. And moreover, they prove, I'll just say it in words, that a triple of eigenvalue functions of non-increasing bounded right continuous functions on the interval 0, 1, a triple can arise as lambda A, lambda B, lambda A plus B for A and B self-adjoints in R omega, if and only if all the Horn inequalities hold for that triple, right? Yeah, that's, I'm going to quote that result. That's an earlier paper, and that's true. They have some Horn inequalities hold in all 2-1 factors. All right. Okay, but this gives us a way we might hope to show that a given 2-1 factor is not embeddable by showing that some Horn inequality fails in it. Right, and so one can try to cook up such an example. So let's consider a naive attempt to do that. This is actually how we got started thinking about these things. Choose a Horn triple that you suspect might not hold in some 2-1 factor. So maybe you have contact with some aliens or something that give you information that the rest of us don't have. So choose a Horn triple. Okay, let me write down 1 just to make things concrete. So here's a Horn triple, 1, 4, 5, 8. 1, 2, 5, 6. 3, 4, 7, 8. And this is an element of T84. So actually a month ago when I gave this talk, this was still possible that this one failed to hold in all in 2-1 factors, and we now know that it holds in all 2-1 factors. But anyway, it's just for sake of example. And then postulate that there exist A and B alpha joint such that the distribution of A is 1 over 8, the sum from 1 to 8 of delta alpha I, and similarly for B, delta beta I, and this is actually, so it would be it would of course be enough to consider to show that all such operators, so for Kunz embedding problem to have a positive solution, of course it's enough to consider operators A and B with discrete spectrum like this, just by some approximation stuff. But then here's the part I that's already kind of a strong assumption. Assume that A plus B has a discrete spectrum like this. Okay, so assume you have that situation for some alpha, beta, and gammas that fail this Horn inequality. Alpha I, beta I, gamma I, such that, you know, the trace equality holds and everything, but alpha 1 plus alpha 4 plus alpha 5 plus alpha 8 plus beta 1 plus beta 5 plus beta 2 beta 5 plus beta 6 is equal to gamma 3 plus gamma 4 plus gamma 7 plus gamma 8 minus 1. Right, so make it fail in some particular way. You even choose some particular values if you want. So throw a dart at the board and hope you hit something. And then try to choose some mixed moments that make this possible. So once we've fixed alpha, beta, and gamma, alpha I's, beta I's, and gamma I's, so this determines the moments of A, the moments of B, and the moments of A plus B. And so the problem is, choose values for mixed moments tau of A to the K1, B to the L1, dot A to the KP, B to the LP. So knowing these moments, that puts certain constraints on possible mixed moments, linear constraints, subject to constraints. And giving a positive trace on, say, the algebra in two non-commuting alpha joints. And if you can do that, then you just have a construction, take the GNS representation. I guess, yeah, that would be enough. Well, we were sort of full of hope and actually tried this in some specific cases, and making some symmetry assumptions ruled out for certain Horn inequalities, ruled out that this can occur. Just by doing explicit calculations, this is a game that one can play, or you might try it at home sometime. But it's perhaps something of a fool's game, because now we're showing that more and more, more and more Horn inequalities are known to hold in all 2-1 factors. So we'll begin. With the first result I know of in this direction, which is due to Holly Belkovich and Chi Li. Appeared in 2001. So a certain subset, actually rather small subset of the Horn inequalities, the Fried-Thompson inequalities, which were proved for matrices by Fried and Thompson. Showed that using some different techniques inspired by paper and matrices by Terianos and Thompson. All Horn inequalities for R equals 1, the so-called Weyl inequalities, and these are really trivial. There are lots of ways to see this. And all Horn inequalities for R equals 2, also pretty trivial, and all what we call Littlewood-Richardson minimal in R equals 3 case hold in all. Inequalities in here hold in all 2-1 factors, or equivalently in all finite binomial algebras. And Littlewood-Richardson minimal, so equivalent formulation of Horn triples in terms of partitions of integers. So I won't go into details, but Horn sets actually are the set of triples IJK such that for the corresponding partitions of integers, the Littlewood-Richardson coefficient is strictly greater than 0. And this is the coefficient coming from representation theory. And the Littlewood-Richardson minimal means that the Littlewood-Richardson coefficient is equal to 1, and it's a theorem, a known theorem, that these suffice to determine the Horn convex body. So it's enough to prove that Horn's conjecture has actually been proved. If you can, instead of this set, consider the set of Littlewood-Richardson minimal Horn inequalities. So these are enough. Okay. All right, so it might be true that, that we can prove, somebody can prove that all Horn inequalities hold in all 2-1 factors. And it's an interesting question then, would that imply that Cohn's embedding problem has positive solution? Would that be enough? If you know that, that, I mean, when you think about the eigenvalues of a sum of operators, it has to do with the positions of those 2 operators with respect to each other. And if the possible positions, when viewed through the lens of spectral data of just taking sums, if the matrices, if you can't see the difference between matrices or between R omega and other and general 2-1 factors, just looking through that lens, is that enough to know that all 2-1 factors are embeddable in R omega? Well, we weren't able to prove that, but we have a weaker result, which is somehow if you use the lens of adding Hermitian operators but throw in matrix coefficients, then you get a positive answer in the converse direction, shall we say. So Born inequalities. Do they determine positive answer? Let's reformulate some of what Bakovich and Lee did. So let's 6 alpha and beta. N tuples, decreasing N tuples of real numbers. And let's let K alpha beta be equal to the set of eigenvalue functions of operator C that arise as in the N by N matrices, diagonal of alpha plus a unitary conjugate of diagonal of beta for U N by N unitary. So this is, of course, the same information as is contained in the Horn body, S alpha beta. But just we take the eigenvalue sequence and make a step function out of it. Right? That's all this is. It allows us to handle different ends at the same time. That's the point of doing this. And now let's allow ourselves to dilate so that K alpha beta D for an integer D be the set of such eigenvalue functions where C is the diagonal matrix, alpha down the diagonal, tensor the D by D identity matrix plus a unitary conjugate of diagonal beta tensor the D by D identity matrix. Where here, of course, the unitaries are ND by ND matrices. And then at K alpha beta infinity, the union of these form a directed system under the product ordering and the natural numbers. So let K alpha beta infinity be the union D from 1 to infinity K alpha beta D and closed up in the obvious quality.
So you don't want to get the two of a 2-1 factor. You mean that?
I put a prime on mine. That means, I mean, if the Horn inequalities hold in 2-1 factors, does that imply that Kahn's embedding problem is true? And I think...
I mean, do you mean the Kahn's conjecture is true in the 2-1 factor theorem?
That's an open problem, but that's sort of, if we knew it's true, would we be able to prove Kahn's embedding problem from that? And the answer is, I don't know how, but at least, so here we're still considering the classical situation, classical Horn problem. So. Bakovich and Lee showed that if A and B are self-adjoints in R omega with, let's say, discrete spectrum, so the eigenvalue function of A is the eigenvalue function of the diagonal of alpha, and the eigenvalue function of B is the step function, the eigenvalue function of diagonal of beta for fixed alpha and beta, we fix the alpha and beta, then the eigenvalue function of A plus B lies in this convex body K alpha beta infinity. Every such thing can be realized. So this is only part of the theorem.
And besides that every such thing can be realized, then it's independent of all.
It's yeah. Everything. So the set of triples that can be realized as lambda a, lambda b, lambda a plus b in R omega are precisely the ones for which all the Horn inequalities hold in the appropriate sense. Yeah. Okay. Well. So, to dress it up, the fancy name, we consider the quantum Horn bodies, which are with matrix coefficients. Will be positive integers, and alpha and beta, again, fixed, decreasing n tuples of real numbers, and let's fix A1 and A2, L by L, self-adjoint matrices, and let K alpha beta with coefficients A1 and A2 be the set of eigenvalue functions of operator C, of matrices C, where C is realized as A1 tensor diagonal of alpha plus A2 tensor, a unitary conjugate of diagonal of beta. U ranging over the invariant matrices. And then we consider dilations, but we dilate inside here. be a natural number. K alpha beta D coefficients A1 and A2. These are the set of eigenvalue functions coming from A1 tensor diagonal of alpha tensor D by D matrices plus A2 tensor unitary conjugate diagonal of beta tensor D by D matrices. And take the union as D goes to infinity and close it up with an infinity there. Now our theorem is that so if for every alpha and beta and every A1 and A2, the possible eigenvalue functions arising in 2-1 factors from this situation all lie in this set, then Kahn's embedding problem has positive solutions. So it's the analog of the converse we asked about here, but where we have to consider matrix coefficients as well. So first, for all finite binomial algebras, M embeds in R omega. And second, the equivalent condition is that, it gets a bit messy to write it out, but for all N, for all alpha and beta, for all L and for all self-adjoint A1 and A2 L by L matrices, and for all M with A and B self-adjoint matrices, self-adjoint elements in M whose eigenvalue functions are the same, whose spectral data is just given by alpha and beta. Belongs to this set K alpha beta infinity A1, A2. Alright. Well, so it would be nice to know more about these sets. An obvious question is, are they even convex sets? Because, of course, the Horn bodies are determined by inequalities. That's one thing that makes them useful. And linear inequalities, and we know that it's easy to show that this set is not always convex, but there's some experimental evidence to suggest that when you add in enough of a dilation that you get convex sets, and there's some good reasons to think that. So maybe these are always convex.
And, well, I'm just about out of time. I wanted to write down a theorem. Yeah, that'll probably take too long. Let me stop here. The proof that exists goes through some deep terms in cohomology classes, and the only way that we know how to prove Horn inequalities in two one factors is to construct projections in certain Schubert cells, and so that's how we do it. The theorem that I erased for the R equals 3 case, we have some reduction procedure to reduce it to a certain set of examples, and then we explicitly construct projections for those. And it's kind of hard to imagine doing that in general, but actually also in recent discussions with Harry Bakovich and Wing Shi, there are some hopes that one can find a reduction procedure that gets it down to something reasonable. It might be possible to do it in two-one factors, and then one would also have to give a more elementary proof of the original Horn conjecture and matrices. So, and people tried to do that for a long time, so it might be kind of hard, but anyway. You mean tensoring with matrices and so on? It's possible to consider such things, but we don't have Horn inequalities to violate in that case, because we don't know if these sets are determined by inequalities. From the theorem, we know that if there is a counterexample, then it fails. You know, then you can find some A and B such that the eigenvalue function of A plus B fails to lie in this set, but unfortunately we don't understand these sets very well at the moment.
So let's take the speaker and we come back and forth.
Elements here, can you realize a rational full of quantity combination in some set where the D is?